Thank you for being here. It's good to be together. You guys are awesome. My name is Dove, if I don't know you. I'm one of the pastors here. So we've just finished up a series. We've been talking about the love of God and this incredible love of God that is unfathomable, undescribable. It is so personal and so unending and permanent, this just incredible love of God. And I encourage you guys, if you missed one of those or just want to reflect on one of those, you can get the messages online, either on video or just the audio on our website. But how incredible that there is a God who loves you. The most amazing, powerful being in the entire universe loves you. And will always love you and always has. And what an amazing truth. And so, as we think about the love of God, I think the question that comes up is, how do we receive the love of God? Will we receive the love of God? Will you allow God to love you? And then the second, now what? What do we do with that? So today I want to talk about, what does God want us to do after we have received his love? Not like after, like, oh yeah, I did that and I'm done with that. But maybe I should say, as we receive the love of God, then what do we do? And God has called us to love others. God has called us to take the love that he's given us and to love others. And so I want to talk about love. Love is kind of a big deal. I like to talk about love a lot because it's kind of like, really, if you look at it, it's like, it's kind of the essence of what we're supposed to be doing. And so just a couple examples of that, of how big of a deal love is. Some people came to Jesus and they said, what is the greatest command of all of them? I mean, there's a lot of them. The greatest, the first and greatest is to love God with all you have, with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. And the second is like it. In fact, it's connected to it. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. And your neighbor's not just the person that lives next to you, but it's anybody you come in contact with. You guys this morning are my neighbors. And to love them, and there's nothing greater than these two commands that are tied together. And then Jesus, towards the end of his time on earth, he said, I'm going to give you guys a new command. Like, okay, something new. He says, the new command is, love one another. As I have loved you, so you love one another. Love each other. And the Bible's full of other verses that say that we should love each other. Love's kind of a big deal. It's like a really big deal. In fact, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13 this beautiful section on love, and he says, if you have this incredible ability to speak in languages and tongues of angels and people, but you don't have love, it's nothing. If you have incredible wisdom, you understand the entire cosmos, but you don't have love, it's nothing. If you have this incredible faith and you give yourself to these great things, but you don't have love, it was empty. I added the word empty, but it's nothing. Peter says, above all else, love one another deeply from the heart, because love covers over a multitude of sins. If anyone doesn't love, they don't know God, because God is love. So love is kind of a big deal. So it's kind of important. And I'm in the process, probably like you, of learning how to love. And what I thought was loving at times has not been loving. And what I thought was me being loving at times has actually just been selfish. But God allows us to love. And in my life, I have found when I am full of love, I'm the most alive that I ever am. And here at the Rio, we talk about life a lot. Where the river flows, everything will live. And that God wants us to be alive. And for me, I feel the most alive, not when I'm afraid, not when I'm bitter or cynical or proud or trying to prove myself. I feel the most alive in my entire life when I'm full of love. It's the most amazing place to be, in a place of just God has loved me, and just to be full of love. I'm sure you can relate to times in your life. If you think of those beautiful times when you felt alive, I would assume you too have that feeling of like, my heart was so full of love. It's like bursting. I was just so alive. And so my hope is that we would continue to learn to love. And so let's pray, and we're going to look at a couple short sections on love. Thank you, God, that you love us so deeply. How amazing that you would love us as sinners who have turned to you. How amazing that you would love us personally, individually, to know us in a unique way with a new name. Thank you that you care about us so eternally, that your love is so beyond our understanding. And God, we come to you. God, we came here to learn from you. Would you teach us today? Would you teach our hearts? Would you open up the places in my heart that want to love? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to look at a couple sections. Romans 13, 8 through 10. It says, owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. What an amazing passage on love. Some really wonderful things there. So he's starting with this kind of this, he was talking about debts before that. And like, pay back your debts. And if you can avoid it, don't go into debt. You need to pay those back. But then he says, but love, you're always going to have this debt hanging over your head. It never goes away. You always have a responsibility, an obligation, a debt to love other people in your life. And so let's go through this a little bit. So the first point, love is an ongoing debt we're never going to pay off. I'm obligated to love. I like how Paul writes, Christ's love compels us. It's like, it's not just a debt like, oh, I got to do this. It's like, I am so compelled. I am motivated. I am driven. I am so obligated to this love. Like, there's no way I could not take the love that's been given to me and love others. I owe other people around me love. The second thing he says, love sums up the other commands. So if you think about these other commands, and he's talking about the law, the first five chapters of the Bible are sometimes called the law. So he's saying the commands of the law, it could also be the laws of the country. But I think in context, he's talking about the law, being the law of Moses, the law given to the Jewish people of like, this is what it looks like to honor and follow God. He says, love sums those up. If you love someone, well, of course you're not going to dishonor their body in adultery. Of course you're not going to dishonor their stuff by stealing it. Yes, love is the motivation. Love sums it up. It's like, well, and I think it's easy sometimes for me to get lost in all the little technicalities. It's like, okay, let's just, big picture, let's sum it up. Love, are you doing this in love? Okay. Like, the little tiny details can kind of be less important when the big picture is there. He says that love by nature does no wrong to another. The NIV says harm. It does no harm to its neighbor. That's kind of an interesting one. That one's challenging to me. As I've learned to love a little bit in my life, I can remember the first few times that I gave somebody money who totally lied to me. And I really thought it was I was helping them. And I remember being in college, and we went on a trip to Arizona, and we're at this hotel, and this person came by, and he was in a really tough spot because he had a bus ticket to go to Chicago, but the bus wasn't leaving until the next morning, and he had no money for dinner that night or nothing. And so I gave him $5, and he was like super jazzed, like, wow, $5. And he gave me this book that somebody else had given him on Bible promises. And I told him I didn't need the book, but he insisted. Like, wow, you've been so kind to me. Here, you can have this. And the next day, I don't know what happened to his bus, but the next day he came walking by asking for money again. And he looked at me and kind of looked away. And I realized, man, he lied to me. You lied to me. And I also realized that $5 I thought was going to help him most likely just helped him get drunk or stoned or do something else that wasn't good for his life. That's kind of a weird place sometimes. Love does no harm to its neighbor. And that's tough for me because it's like, you know, I would like to just give everybody who wants money. But actually that in some ways can bring harm to somebody. It actually could. And real love doesn't harm or bring wrong to another person. So we're called to love in a way that doesn't bring wrong. It brings overall good. We're bringing overall good to people's lives. He also says that love fulfills the law. Like, do you want to fulfill everything written in the law? Love. That fulfills it. All right, moving on a little later in Romans. I guess let me do a little backstory. So in the church in Rome, there's a... I love that sound. You know, that's so... Sorry. Squirrel. When we had little kids, I was always like, oh, they're so loud and noisy, and oh, they're bothering people. And now I'm like, that is such a beautiful sound. Like, just... Anyways, thank you for having little ones here. In Rome, there was Jewish believers, and then there was these pagan believers together, and there's obviously challenges with that. And so the Jewish believers are still saying, hey, we shouldn't eat the swine beast. You know, like, pork should be off the table, and we should not meet on Sundays. We should meet on Saturday, because that's the Sabbath. And there's a lot of other things, challenges that they were having. And so Paul's writing to them, and he's saying, you know, like, hey, it's really not that big of a deal. Like, anything is clean to eat now, which would be really hard to hear if you were used to it being like, certain foods violate the law of God. Saying, no, you're actually allowed to eat anything. But then he's talking about, but you need to care for other people in the way they see those. And I think we have analogies today that really connect with that. I heard someone share about Halloween, and since Halloween's coming up, I thought that's a good one. So some people have very strong beliefs. It's a a very long-standing tradition, and kids everywhere love it, and so do dentists, I think, but I'm not sure. And then there's some other people that have a really strong belief that there is demonic things from the devil that happen during Halloween, and that that is a night of darkness. And there's very good reasons to believe that as well. And so I do think that that's a good place where it's like, okay, who's right in that? Somebody's right, but who is it? And Paul's like saying, no, no, it's between you and God. If you think Halloween is a great holiday and a good time to go get candy, in faith, go and do that. He didn't actually say that. That's the spirit of what he's saying. He's talking about food and he's talking about days of the week. What he's saying, hey, it's between you and God. If you do that in faith, awesome. Praise God. What a beautiful thing. And if in your conscience you're like, there is some evil stuff, I do not want to partake in this, and you don't in faith, that honors God. Praise God. And so, anyways, there's probably lots of other analogies we could talk about in our own context. But that's where Paul is writing in this letter to these Romans, and he's saying, hey, like, you guys are getting divided on this, but it's not worth dividing. Like, you need to care for each other. And then I'm going to pick it up in there, 14, and we're going to look at what he says. He says, so then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. So don't, rather than pursuing, okay, in this thing that's not that important, what's right and what's wrong, there's something better to pursue than that. Let's pursue what brings peace and what builds each other up. That's a really interesting thing. There's other verses in the Bible. I've often been struck by that idea of building up, building someone up. How do I build someone up? Like, I'm building them. And I also like, Paul talks about the difference between being puffed up and being built up. And so sometimes I can just flatter people and they get all puffed up. And that's not what Paul's talking about. But God wants us to build each other up, to help each other be strengthened, to help encourage and spur on, and to build up each other. Do not for the sake of food or other things destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything that causes your brother to stumble. If you know that's going to bother their conscience, don't do that. At least not around them. Care for them. And then I'm skipping a little section, not because it's not important and awesome, but just to keep it focused. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. Okay, so let's just look at that. So in this section, the instruction is that love pursues peace. A heart of love pursues peace. Love builds people up. Another word for building up is edify. It edifies, it strengthens, it brings encouragement and hope and helps them see the good in God and good in themselves. It helps motivate and grow them forward. Love does not destroy the work of God or cause another to stumble. And when I think of my life, I think of some of those places where I have caused others to stumble in their faith or just stumble in their lives. And those are some of the most painful places to me. It's like, May we not destroy the work of God, but encourage the work of God. Help someone to stand and walk and not fall. Love bears with the weaknesses of others. It's interesting how he says, to bear with the failings of the weak. I'm not sure. In some sense, I think that's all of us. At least I have a lot of weaknesses. But we should bear with the weaknesses of others. And not take advantage of those, not point them out, not pounce on them, not mock them, not make them ashamed of those, but bear with them. And love pleases our neighbors for their good. This is something I've thought a lot about over the years. It's like pleasing people. Because the Bible does talk about you shouldn't be worried about pleasing people. Like, you should please your neighbor for their good. What is the, like, in one sense it's saying don't please people, and in one sense it's saying two, what is the distinction? If you think about your life, I think I can think of mine. I struggle with being a people pleaser. It's something I've struggled with for a long time. And so when I read something, it's like, oh, see? It's actually a good thing. You're supposed to please people. I was like, no. Again, even as we're talking about love, it is not the same thing. God's ideas of love is very different than my nature, my flesh. God's idea of pleasing people is very different than how I please people. And some of you may not struggle with that as much as I do, but I want to just take a little bit, and I want you to think about that. What's the difference? What does it look like to please others in an unhealthy way? What does it look like to please others in a healthy way? Uncomfortable wait time. Let you think about it a little bit. What does that look like? There's an unhealthy way to please people. But God's saying there's a healthy way. You should please people. And I'm just going to throw out some of the things that I thought about. I would love to connect and hear what you guys think too. But as I think about it in my own life, when I'm trying to please people in an unhealthy way, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to make them happy so that they'll like me, so that they'll approve of me, so they won't hurt me, so they'll validate me, so they'll be impressed by me, and hopefully not reject me. It's like, well, if I can make you pleased, hopefully I'll get all these things. And it was really kind of disturbing because I wrote this down, and then I was like, you know what I just wrote? That I want to get them to smile so that I can get something from them. There's a word for that. It's called manipulation. I'm like, what? No, I'm pleasing people. I'm nice guy, right? I'm a nice guy. And then I look at it, why am I such a nice guy? Because I'm trying to get something from you so you won't hurt me, so you'll like me and make me feel good about myself. That's not what God is talking about. I know in my life, part of the reason I think as I think of my life, I learned to please people. I was always the runt. I used to have my report cards from like fourth and fifth grade. I'm pretty sure in fifth grade I weighed 55 pounds. In ninth grade, I weighed 95 pounds. And I know that because I wrestled and I got weighed all the time. And so I was always little. And so I wasn't going to fight anybody because I was going to get beat up. And I wasn't that fast of a runner. And so I kind of like learned how to please people. I remember when I was in sixth grade, and we had a sixth grade hall in our school, and then upstairs was the seventh grade hall and the eighth grade hall. And my teacher sent me to go to the eighth grade hall. She said, hey, would you take this note to this teacher in the eighth grade hall? I had never been in the eighth grade hall before. And so I said, okay. And so I went up the stairs, I'm walking down the eighth grade hall, and I had two pencils in my back pocket. And I'm walking down the eighth grade hall, and one of them, I feel one of them go out of my pocket. Keep walking. Like, that pencil is gone. Like, whatever. I keep walking, next pencil, out of my back pocket. I have no idea if it was a person, if it was a dog. There's no reason to know. I just keep walking. Deliver the note and get back to the sixth grade hall. It's like, and that's what I spent a lot of time doing. Like, and I learned how to be nice enough that most people didn't mess with me. As I look at it, when I really look at this, I'm concerned about what other people think about me. All right, how about a healthy way? What does it look like to please others in a healthy way? And I like that it says, please others for their good, to build them up. And when I think about that, to me, it means I'm concerned about them. I'm concerned about what brings their true, lasting happiness. I want them, not just what will make them feel good for a moment, what will truly make them happy long term. I'm concerned about what brings God's intentions. What would make God smile? Because really, that's what's going to bring the most good to them. And I don't know, just looking at these, and I don't know what you thought of when you thought of healthy and unhealthy pleasing. I look at this list, and on the first list, there's a lot of me's in there. This is about me, 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 me. And the healthy one is not about me. It's about you, them, 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 them. How can I truly care for them? What would really bring them good? What would make God smile and bring God's joy into their life? The other thing I see when I look at this is I see this where I'm concerned about what they think of me. I'm trying to get from them a sense of safety, security, a sense of significance. And those are the things that God wants to give me. Those aren't the things that I'm supposed to get from making people happy. God wants to give me those. God wants to give me safety, security, significance. I was really enjoying Psalm 62 yesterday. My soul rests in God alone. In Him is my salvation. He is my rock and my refuge. It's not my techniques to try to get security or safety or get some sense of worth. God is my rock and my refuge. My soul rests in Him. He is my salvation. And from that place of knowing who we are with God, we can truly love others, truly care for them, truly desire their good. That is my hope, and not just so that I can be miserable and everybody else can have something good, but truly in my life, I am the most alive when I'm full of love. I am the most alive when I truly care about others, when I'm truly not just concerned about what they think about me, but I truly care about their well-being. I truly see them as a fellow human being, as the image of God, as someone who God loves, and therefore so do I. So may we grow in love as God loves us. Let's pray. Thank you, God, again for your incredible love. God, I ask that you would teach me how to love others, not for my own sake, but for theirs and for yours. What an amazing joy to have the love of God in me. I want to be a vessel of your love. God, if there's places in us that you want to just ruffle up a little bit, that you want to breathe new life into, that you want to encourage us to love, I ask that you would do that. I ask that you would take us to another level, that you would help us to learn how to love, help us to grow. In Jesus' name, amen.